Hallelujah.
Defender behind.
so thankful to know that I'm not alone. The power and the presence of the Lord is in this room. And God can do more in 5 minutes than we can do in a lifetime. And this is why I pray that you pray before you get here so that you are ready. Right now, let the Holy Spirit be the hands and feet of Jesus. And you touch somebody and pray for them right now. Pray the comfort. Pray the presence and the power of God. Meet their needs right now. God knows what you have need of right where you're standing. He knows your family members that are sick and dealing with COVID. He knows people in your family, people on your job, people in your neighborhood right now that need a touch from the Lord. That person that is standing right beside you needs to feel the hands and the feet of Jesus. Put your hand upon them right now and pray over them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, you see the weary heart. You see the broken heart. You see those right now, God, who are fearful, who are afraid, Lord, who are worried about, God, things in their life, their family, their friends, their neighbors, things going on the job. In the name of the Lord Jesus, right now, we, the body of Christ, speak into those situations, and we call those things that are not as though they already were. Let your manifest healing, God, be manifested in more people's lives. Let your comfort be manifested in their lives. In the name of Jesus, let your power, Lord, be present in their lives in the name of Jesus. Now we've asked him. Now can you lift your hands if you're a believer and thank him? Thank him right now. Thank him that he never will leave you nor forsake you. Thank him if you're a believer that he is a shepherd that will lead you and guide you. Hallelujah. Thank him that he will restore your soul. Thank you for that restoration, Lord. Thank you for the power of truth to break and destroy every lie in our life. That we don't have to walk in darkness, but we can walk in the light as you are in the light. We thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on and give God a big praise this morning. Come on, celebrate recovery in Hope House. Put your voice to that. Come on, put your voice to that. Come on. He loves a shout of praise. Come on, he loves a shout of praise. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. I think I remembered in the Old Testament when they started shouting, some walls started coming down. They couldn't penetrate it with a sword and a shield and a slingshot, but a shout got what a sword couldn't get. Come on, right now, shout. Walls of doubt and fear, hallelujah, let them fall. The chains of oppression be broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is a power greater than me and greater than you in this house. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I want to remind you that though there's a lot going on in this world, there is coming a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. He is Lord. I don't know what you are facing this morning, but I come to encourage you. He is Lord over that situation. He is bigger than your problem. Yes, he is. He hadn't slipped off his throne. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He is still your healer. He is still your provider. He is literally everything you need when you need him. If you're thirsty, he's your water. If you're hungry, he's your bread. Amen. And most of all, he's your shepherd who is leading you and guiding you. Aren't you thankful for that? Why don't you just turn around and give some comforting words to a friend? Tell them you're so glad to see him this morning. Tell them you're happy to have him in the house of the Lord. Tell them they look nice. Be nice. You want to live like Jesus, love like Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Come on, do I have a witness in this house? Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Friends come and go, but Jesus comes and stays. He'll be a friend, Lord, that will stick closer than any brother. If you don't have him today as a friend, make sure you get him today as a friend. Before you leave this house, make sure you say, Lord, I want you in my life. I can't do this on willpower. I got to have God's power. Come on, somebody. I can't do this by myself. I got to have help. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him you need help. You need help. You need help. I'm not talking about you need help with your looks. Ain't a thing we can do about that. I ain't talking about you need help with hair, because ain't a thing I can do about that. I'm talking about help that you can't get any other place. A doctor can't help you, and a lawyer can't help you, and your best friend can't help you. But I'm here to tell you Jesus can. That's the kind of help you need. Come on, that's the kind of help you need. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him you need help. You need help. Call on him. He said, if you call on me, I'll be there. If you call on me, I'll be there. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Anybody ever heard that old song? Jesus on the main line. Just tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. What's his number? It's J-E-S-U-S. What's his number? It's J-E-S-U-S. J-E-S-U-S, I'm in trouble. I'm calling on you. He said, I'll come. He said, I'll be there. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You got a problem? I'm going to tell you, I've got problems. You got problems. We all got problems. All of God's children got problems. But he's the great problem solver. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. You know why I don't want to follow some people's religion? Because they're not nice. They're not even nice. Listen to me. If you want to be like Jesus, you got to love like Jesus. I said, if you want to be like Jesus, you got to love like Jesus. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but if you're a believer, put a smile on your face right now and say, the Lord is good. And whatever I'm going through, God's big enough to bring me through it. Come on. Come on. I said he's big enough to bring me through it. Has he ever failed you? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. He's never failed you. Will he ever fail you? No. He will never fail you. Why? Because there's no failure in him. He cannot fail. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There are some things God doesn't know. You say God knows everything. No, he doesn't. There's some things he don't know. He doesn't know a battle he can't win. He doesn't know a sickness he can't heal. He doesn't know a problem he can't solve. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm white on the outside, but I got a little black on the inside. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I can't sing it like they can sing it, but I'm going to tell you something. I got the same anointing on me that T.D. Jakes has got, because we're serving the same God with the same spirit, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Come on, we're all baptized into one body, which is Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now turn around and be nice. Act like you like them, even if you don't. Tell them something good right now. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Thank you, Lord. Well, Just stay right there. I'm almost done for now. But I'm going to tell you something. It aggravates me when the world said it's all right for people to act crazy at a football game, basketball game, soccer game, and a concert. But now we as Christians are supposed to come here and look stoic and just stand there and look ignorant. I'm going to tell you, I got a lot more to shout about than a pigskin crossing a little red line. I got a lot more to shout about than a little ball going out in the stands. Come on, I got a lot more to shout about than another ball going inside a net. I'm shouting today because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm shouting today because He brought me out of the miry clay. Come on, don't try to get there and get here and say, you need to look stoic. You need to behave yourself. If the world can shout, I got something greater to shout about. Come on, somebody. Can I keep preaching? The world does a lot of things for a feeling. They get drunk for a feeling. They get high for a feeling. They go to a concert for a feeling. They go to a ball game because they want to have a feeling of being in the stands. What is wrong with me coming here today to say, God, I really need to feel your presence. I need a fresh touch from the Lord. Would you do me one more sweet favor? Would you raise your hand and ask the Lord to let His presence fill every heart and every home to meet needs today before we say the final amen? Would you join with me right now? Father, we need your presence. Lord, we need your presence because your presence makes all the difference. And Father, we don't know everyone who is here. We don't know all of their names, but you do. And you know what they have need of. And we haven't come here to look cute. We've come here for the power of God to do what only it can do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we receive that in Jesus' mighty name. And if you agree with your pastor, say amen. Amen. Come on, give God one more hand clap of praise.
Good morning. You can be seated. Man, I feel like we already got the word this morning. Amen. So welcome to all of our guests. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We have a digital connection card. You can text TPCDQ to 84576. This will allow you to connect with us and get upcoming event information, submit prayer requests, and receive a gift card in the mail. Man, I want a gift card. I don't know about y'all, but I mean, it's free. Yes, I'll tell people just to come and get a free gift card. They'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll come. Also, you can shop TPC merch. I was actually in the car this morning. I was like, I got to get some of that stuff because it looks so good. I don't know who designed that, but whoever did that, they did a wonderful job. You can find the links on our website, our app, Facebook, or on Instagram. We have shirts, hats, totes, phone cases, and a bunch of other stuff. Tuesday morning prayer will begin August the 31st at 10 a.m. And we will meet here in the gym. I'm really excited about that. We haven't had that in a while, so that'll be really good. Our back to school bash, that is for our youth here at TPC tonight, this evening at 6 p.m. All of our youth are invited, middle school, high school, and college. Some of our prayer requests today are Sarah Markintel, June Whitman, and Robert Nixon. And at this time, if our ushers would come, there's one thing I want to say. There's a song that I like to listen to every now and then. I have it on my little Spotify playlist, and it's called Fear Is Not Welcome. And it's by Brian Courtney Wilson. And so if you're ever just feeling fear, I just encourage you to find that song on YouTube, wherever. You don't have to buy it if you don't want to. Just find it and listen to it. And sing it in the car. I do that. I love to sing in the car. I do that all the time. And if you're just feeling fear, I just encourage you to find that song, to listen to it, and to just sing it to yourself in the car. And let me just tell you, it really does. It really does. Really does just removes the spirit of fear off of you. So thank you, Lord, for this offering. Thank you, Lord, for blessing the gift and the giver. Thank you, Lord, for this service this morning, for your presence and your spirit showing up and moving in and through each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Acts chapter 16? Again, thank all of you for being here in God's house. All of our guests, we welcome you. If this is your first time, we know sometimes you can feel a little ill at ease coming to a new place, but we're glad that you're here and we want to make you feel at home. Those of you joined us online, thank you for being a part of our online community. We'd love to have you anytime you would want to come. Hey, I've got a little bit of humor for you. Somebody passed this on to me and I thought it was funny. Here it is. When our lawnmower broke and wouldn't run, my wife kept hinting that I should get it fixed. Somehow I always had something else a little more important to do. Fix the shed, wash the boat, wash the car, always something more important. Finally, she thought of a clever way to make her point. When I arrived home one day, I found her seated in the tall grass, snipping away with a pair of scissors. I watched for a short time and went into the house. I was only gone a minute, and when I came out again, I handed her a toothbrush. I said, "When you finish cutting the grass, you might as well sweep the driveway." The doctor said I'll walk again, but I'll always have a limp. Acts 16:16, reading from the English Standard Version. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Acts 16:16. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. We're going to talk about this passage here, and I believe the Lord has dropped something in my spirit. And today what I'm praying for is the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation. Please, I'm asking you, whatever cares are going to greet you when you get back home, leave them there right now. In your mind, come to church so you can receive the engrafted word of the Lord, so that it can be a seed in your spirit that will bear forth fruit when you need it. Will you receive that? In Jesus' mighty name, thank you again. You can be seated. So here is the story to Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 16. Paul and Silas were going to a place of prayer. They were at Philippi. So they were going to go and pray. And this is when they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. That's also known as witchcraft. She had a spirit of witchcraft. And if you are a non-believer, you may ask the question, well, what is wrong with witchcraft? Well, the reason why that God condemns witchcraft all throughout the scripture, here's the reason, is because witchcraft is man's desire to make things happen apart from God. Can I say it again? The reason why God does not want us involved in witchcraft is because witchcraft is man's carnal desire to make things happen apart from God. In other words, our carnal nature, we want to know things. We want to see things in the future. We want somebody to tell us what is going to happen. And in that carnal nature, our carnal nature says this: I would rather pay the devil than pray to God. Come on now. Think about it. See, witchcraft is the enemy's attempt to counterfeit the supernatural. I'm going to say that again. I need some time here this morning. Witchcraft is the enemy's counterfeit to the supernatural. If you don't think that people are not interested in the supernatural, you haven't looked at TV in a while. Because there's all kinds of shows that are dedicated to witchcraft. They want to know about the supernatural. So listen, wherever there is a real, there is a fake. And the enemy has a fake and it's called witchcraft. But the church has the real and it's called the supernatural. And we in this hour need to see more of it. But you must understand that God doesn't ask us to pay for it. He asked us to pray for it. Can I get a witness? See, here's what prayer does. Abraham prayed. This is in the Old Testament. And Abimelech was healed. Hannah prayed and God gave her a miracle child. Ezra prayed in the Old Testament and revival came. Daniel prayed and it shut the mouths of lions. Esther prayed and it changed history. The way that the church is able to change situations is not to try to pay our way out, but rather to pray our way out. Here's what 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says. It's a very famous verse in the Bible. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and will seek my face and turn. God is saying, if you will do these things, here's what I'll do. I'll finish the verse. It goes on to say that I will forgive your sins and I will heal your lands. God is saying, you don't have to pay for this. You just got to pray for this. And the Holy Spirit put it in my spirit to just encourage my brothers and sisters this morning that are facing fearful situations. There is a spirit of fear upon a lot of people. People are being afraid. People are afraid in America right now. There are people that are seeking answers because people are fearful. People are asking the question, what about COVID? What about this new variant of COVID? What about vaccines? Is the chip in the vaccine? What about the chip? What about the mark of the beast? People are asking about, what about our economy? What about the inflation? What about social injustice? What about America's leadership? What about Afghanistan? And why is all of this happening? I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, I do not believe that God is mad at America. Okay? I do not believe that God is mad at America, and right now I don't believe that God is judging America. That day is coming, but it's not right now. I do believe that God wants America's attention. Okay? You don't have to buy into what I'm saying, because I'm not talking doctrine now. I'm just talking my beliefs. I believe that God is not mad at America. I believe that God wants America's attention. And unfortunately, brothers and sisters, we don't change when we see the light. As humans, we only change when we feel the heat. Because we are people of comfort. And God loves us so much that he's willing to take the comfort from the nest so we can't rest in our comfort. And he's saying, America, I love you and I want you to be saved. You must understand that God doesn't just love the church. He loves the world. God doesn't just love America, for God so loved the world that he gave. God gave his son not just for the church. He gave his son for the world. God loves the world. Why are these things coming upon the world? Not because God is mad. God's not mad at us. He wants our attention. God wants your attention. Why are bad things happening to me? It's not because God is mad at you. God wants your attention. And he normally don't get your attention if you're living in a lot of comfort. You got to feel a little bit of the heat in order to say, you know what? I got to change my ways. What's God doing? God is applying the heat to America. America is becoming fearful. And we're feeling, oh my God, how do we change these things? And the church, you cannot and I cannot pay our way out of this, but we can pray our way out. If my people, which are called by my name, I feel the Holy Spirit in this house right now. If they will, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll change some things in your life. As believers, we have the power. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you have the power. Tell him, you have the power. No, you got to get this revelation. How do I have the power? Not within myself. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Willpower is not enough to change situations. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, because the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit can change the situation that you are in. Can I keep preaching? Now, it's not ironic that a witch met Paul and Silas. Where did she meet them at? She met them on their way to pray. There's a reason for that. Let's look at Acts now 16 and 17. Again, this is the ESV version. She followed Paul and us crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Now, this woman is speaking the truth about Paul and Silas because they are servants of the Most High God. But the devil was not providing free advertisement. A lot of people want to know, how come she could speak the truth? Because even the devil can be robed as an angel of light. It is the power of deception because he plays both sides of the fence. So right now, even though she is speaking the truth, these are men of the Most High God. They can show the way of salvation. It wasn't because the devil wanted to give them free advertisement. It wasn't that. It was because their message was a threat to not only their prophets, but it was a threat to the spiritual principalities that were operating in Rome at the time. So even though the owners got upset over the money, the enemy wasn't caring about the money. He don't care about your money. The enemy was upset over the message because the message is what's going to bring freedom. Come on, somebody. See why? Because God's message has the power to set you free emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And the enemy's agenda is to kill and steal and destroy. And why he stirred them up over money, that wasn't the real issue. The real issue was because these men could tell others the way to get out of prison, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. He said, "I have come that you might find life and that you might find it more abundantly." And the thing that the enemy wanted to do most of all, he wanted to shut the mouths of Paul and Silas because they were proclaiming this message of freedom. Now go to your Bible. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 18. It says, "Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit." Now, I got to pause right here, right here. I want to show you something real quick. This had been going on for many days. This lady had been following them for many days, and she had been saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God." She had been doing this for many days. Why didn't Paul turn around on the first day and rebuke her? Here's the answer to that. Because his faith hadn't become quickened. This is key. There have been times that I have taken things because my faith hadn't become quickened yet. But then I have been literally in a room or driving down the road and I can't explain it, but all of a sudden my faith becomes quickened. And I'm like, enough of this. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Enough of this. But I didn't do it the first or the second or the third. Maybe it was even 2 weeks because you don't just go around blabbing and grabbing stuff. Your faith has to be quickened. And Paul's faith was quickened. He was saying, enough of this. He wasn't angry at the girl. Notice, he did not speak to the girl. He spoke to the Spirit. And think of this. He did not pray and ask God to rebuke the devil. This is where revelation needs to come into our hearts. Paul did not say, "God, would you please take care of this spirit?" He did not do that. He turned and commanded the Spirit to depart out of this little slave girl. And immediately she was delivered. Why? Because the power of God was already in him to do the work. Are you with me now? Okay, can I keep going? All right. Notice that Paul, this is key, Paul did not pray to God to do something. He did not pray to God to do something. Why? Because Paul already took the power that he had, which was the power of the Holy Spirit, and commanded the evil spirit to come out. That's key. Look at Acts 3 and 2 now, up on the screen. Again, ESV version. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. Verse 6. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. Peter didn't say, God, I beg you to let him walk. Peter didn't say, God, if it's your will, let him walk. Instead, the apostle Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. It was God's power that raised this lame man, but that power was under Peter's authority. God, give us revelation. When a police officer is in uniform and he's operating under the authority of that state or that parish, the power and the authority was there before he ever or she ever put the uniform on. And it's going to be there when they retire and take the uniform off, because the power and the authority does not lie in them. It lies in the state. But when they put that uniform on, they carry that power and authority with them. When they need to arrest somebody, they don't have to run back to the precinct and ask the chief, can I arrest this person? They don't have to go back and ask if they can do it. They already have the power and the authority to do what they need to do. Here's revelation. We are going back to God and asking God to do what he's already given us the power and the authority to do. We see something, we run and ask if it's God's will. Can I tell you that it's always God's will to heal, to save, and to deliver? Does it happen every time? No. Do I know why? No. But I know the will of God. The will of God is to heal, to save, to deliver, and to set free. I don't have to go back to God and ask him to do what he's already commanded me to do. Does that make sense? And so it is the same with us believers. God has given us the power and the authority. Some would say, well, you know, Peter was just one of those blab it and grab it and name it and claim it. You know, the guy who said things that were not so in hopes that they would become so. But that is not how faith works at all. Faith, with me, this is important. Faith is perceiving what is true in the spirit realm and just speaking it forth to see it manifested in the physical realm. Your faith reaches up into the spirit realm, and through faith, by grace of what God's already done, you reach into heaven and you command what's already given, and through grace, it is received in the spirit. Does that just make sense? Look at the commands. You say, Pastor, I don't know. Look at the commands the Lord gave his disciples, and we are his disciples. Look at Luke 9 and 1 up on the screen. King James Version. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over some devils, all devils, and to curse some diseases, to curse diseases, plural. What did he do? He gave them the power. What power? The Holy Spirit. That's why you want the Holy Spirit. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Because you have power over sin, over sickness, over Satan, and over yourself. That's right. You need more than willpower. You need the Holy Spirit power. Yeah. Why? So that you can be a blessing to others, because you got God in you. Okay, can we keep going? It's very important. Matthew 10 and 1, King James Version again. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Got it? Matthew 10 and 8, here again, King James Version. This is a command. It is not a suggestion. He said, I'm not suggesting you do this. He is commanding, heal the sick. not beg God to do it. He's already given you as a believer and a disciple the power and authority. This is why you need to stay prayed up. Because you're going to come against a situation and you're going to need the power. And you can't get ready, you got to be ready. This is why I am saying I believe in prayer rooms at the church. They're a good thing. But I don't come here to pray in the prayer room to get ready. I was praying last night. I was up really early this morning praying, God, I need a fresh anointing for this church today. God, I can't give stale bread. I got to hear a fresh word from the Lord. I didn't come here to get ready. I am ready. Why? Because I don't ever know who's going to need what I got. Freely you have received. Freely give it away. Can I keep preaching? Go back to Matthew 10 and 1. Heal the sick. Gets deeper. Ready? Cleanse the lepers. You know what we would say today if we were writing the Bible? Cleanse cancer. That's what we would say today. We don't deal with leprosy today. We deal with cancer. God is saying cleanse cancer. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Here we go. Why? Because you freely received something. What did I freely get? I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he didn't charge me a dime for it. And it's going to resurrect my dead body one day. Hallelujah. That's what I freely got. And so what do? You freely give it. And Peter didn't say, God, I beg you to heal this lame man. Oh my God, would you do it for him? No. You know what he did? He commanded it. Jesus told us to heal the sick, not pray for the sick. That's a radical statement, isn't it? And this is precisely why many, many Christians don't see the miraculous result they're praying for, is because we are not taking our authority and commanding God's power, and we're passively asking God to do what he told us to do. Revelation happened in this room right now. I know this is contrary to what most Christians believe. We're constantly told that it's not us, but God who is the healer. And I totally and completely agree with that. But I also believe that God has placed his healing power under our authority. And it is up to us to release it. And if we as Christians, as believers, don't take our authority and become commanders instead of beggars, God's power is not going to be released. Can I tell you a quick story? This is supposedly true. Read it from a very reliable source. There was this man overseas. He was seeing tremendous miracles being done. Tremendous miracles in his meeting. It became so tremendous that when he walked into a village, they had already heard about him, and the village literally came out and just thronged the man. And the man, he really became overwhelmed, and he was starting to shout, "It's not me, it's not me, it's not me." And he said, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and here's what the Holy Spirit spoke while all of these people were just thronging him. Holy Spirit spoke and said, when the donkey was carrying Jesus and all the people were rushing to Jesus, it would have been arrogant for the donkey to stand up and speak and say, it's not me, it's not me. Nobody was coming to see the donkey. Everybody was coming to see Jesus. What's your point? I'm saying that when we try to get all humble and it's not me, it's not me. You're being arrogant. No, it ain't you. It's never been about you. It's always been he's the star of the show and he just lets you step on the stage. I know this is rude and I don't mean to be rude, but I'm going to just tell you, you and I are just the donkey that he travels on. Paul didn't say, it's not about me, it's not about me. Peter didn't say, it's not about me, it's not about me. He says, I don't have, buddy, what money can buy. I don't have silver and gold for you, but I got something money can't buy because I've been going to the temple and I got the Spirit of God up in me. So I'm going to give you what I've got. Rise up. Get up. Can I keep preaching? Let's go to Acts chapter 16 now. Go back to where we started from. Acts chapter 16. We might have expected that the people that were there that saw this great deliverance from this witch and this spirit of divination being cast out, we might think, wow, the people would just be awed and they would react in awe and wonder and even faith. But instead, hostility won the day and they threw Paul and Silas into prison. Now look at verse 25. 16 and 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The first sign that the power of this world are really not in charge comes when Paul and Silas start singing praises to God. At midnight, they are not crying about their suffering, which would have been very understandable. Here's what we do. We get a little nick and we're like, oh, we're suffering for the name of Jesus. Somebody looks at us wrong and my God, they just don't like Christians on my job. There's all kind of stuff that Paul and Silas could have been saying, because if you read 16, it says that they beat them with rods. Beat them and then place them in chains. They could have been, Lord, we were trying to do what you told us and now look what it got us. None of that. About midnight, I'll tell you what they started doing. They started praying. And they started singing praises unto God. See, right now, America is fearful. You know why? Because she doesn't have God. But that same fear is creeping into the church. And people are fearful. You know why? Because we don't have a revelation of who we are and what we've got. Can I say it again? We don't have a revelation of who we are and what we have. And we start pouting about, I was trying to do the right thing and this is what I get. You want to change the situation? Start praying about it. Prayer works. Lift up the weapon of prayer and lift up the weapon of praise. Start singing a song. Hallelujah, I am not alone. He is my comfort. He always holds me close. I will not walk in fear. Can I get a witness? And God honored them for their suffering, and their prayer and their praise brought about a visible manifestation. The earth quaked, and all of a sudden the prison doors opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. But notice this, Paul and Silas don't leave. You would think they thought, well, God got us out. See you boys. Mm-mm. They don't do that. They save the jailer from suicide. Because that jail man knew that he had failed in his duty. And it was very dishonorable to fail in your duty. And so many, if they felt like they failed, they would take their life. And that's exactly what this jailer was fixing to do. And they said, no, don't do that. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, here's where you start. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all starts, is you got to believe that Jesus went and died for your sins. Come on, somebody. But they did not leave. Can I get a witness? And the prisoners were literally set free, and the jailer and his family became believers. Now think about this. All the great leaders in the world, who of them have ever caused the earth to literally shake? I don't know any of them. But I can tell you about two men that literally caused the earth to shake. How did they do it? Through prayer, through praise, through worship, through not feeling helpless, but realizing they've got the power of God on the inside of them. Let revelation happen this morning. We can pray our way out. We can praise our way out. I don't know what situation you're in this morning, but the spirit of fear is trying to grip some of you, and your pastor is telling you the devil is a liar. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, take 5 seconds and give God your best praise right now. Do you understand that God always does amazing circumstances in difficult times? Why is things heating up around here? Because God is trying to get America's attention. What I preached on Wednesday night, and again, I apologize for keeping you so long, but it's because that the church understands that right now, more than ever, if we can start caring for people and loving people and operating in this power and authority, I'm telling you, they're coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, because we have a faith that can overcome their fear, because we got the power of God working in us. Can I get a witness? So Acts chapter 16 is a great example of God showing how he can take something that the enemy meant for evil. Right? The enemy really wanted to lock up Paul and Silas and to shut their mouth. But God shows you, here's what I'm going to do, devil. I'm going to take this and I'm going to turn it around on you. And the whole Philippian jailer and his whole family is going to get saved. Because that's how God works. As I wrap this up this morning, I want to just share a story that I just read. Because I really do believe that there are people here this morning that you are afraid. You are fearful. You are wondering, how can I get out from this? And if you are an unbeliever today, you have every reason to be afraid. Why? Because you don't know the power of our God. And I'm not here to cast stones at you, but if you're not a believer today, you don't have this power that can shake a jailhouse. You don't have this power that can set you free from sin and yourself and the torments of Satan. This is why we all need him. We need God because God can provide things for you that money can't buy. Oh, I wish I had some time to preach today. Huh. See, money can buy you olive oil, but it can't buy you the anointing.
That's right. Come on.
Mm-mm. And money can send you down to Brooks's Pharmacy and get you a pill. But money can't buy you peace. Money can go down to Tarver Ford and get you a brand new King Ranch truck and you'd be so happy. But money can't buy you joy. Mm-mm. No, money can't buy you the miraculous. Money can't buy you salvation. So what you need, sweetheart, is more than money. You need something money can't buy. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to set you free from every hurt, habit, hang up, and the works of the enemy that would try to destroy you. It's real. I got to hurry, and I'm going to tell you this story. Here it is. A little boy caught birds. He kept them in a sack. And one day, an old man met him along the pathway, and the man heard the sound of wings slapping inside of this sack and a hopeless, pathetic sort of chirping coming from within. "What you got in the sack?" asked the old man. Little boy said, "I got a sack full of sparrows," said the little boy. "What you gonna do with them?" said the man. Little boy thought about it for a minute. He said, "Well, I'm gonna take one at a time out of the sack." He said, "I'm gonna pull their feathers out now and then I'm gonna feed them to my cats." Little old man looked at the little boy and he said, "How much do you want for the whole sack?" Little fella looked at him and thought about it for a minute, and he said, "I'll take $2 for the whole sack." Man reached in his pocket, pulled out $2, and gave them to the boy. Taking the sack, the old man opened it And suddenly, exposing it to the rich sunlight, one by one, the birds began to emerge toward the opening. And they jumped out and they were free, liberated, and flying into the sky. And so it happened one day that God met Lucifer with a huge bag. And inside the bag were the most helpless sounds of life, struggling to be free. "What you got in the bag?" asked God. "People," said Lucifer with a smirk. "And what you gonna do with them?" "I'm gonna torment them, and I'm gonna oppress them one by one. And when they're all worn out from their trials, then I'm gonna throw them into hell." God replies, "So what will you take for all of them?" And the devil says, "Your only begotten son." "Done," said God. And he reached down to earth and he gave us the gift of his son. Because what the enemy didn't know is that 3 days later there would be a resurrection morning. And in that resurrection, God would come back and he would descend upon you the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, stand to your feet and give God some praise. Come on, stand right now if you're a believer and lift your hands to this great God that sent his one and his only begotten son. I want Sister Katie to come up and I want her to sing that last song, that I am not alone. I know that the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning and it told me there were going to be people that we're going to be here, that we're going to be afraid. If you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can say like the Philippian jailer, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And here's what I'm going to tell you. First of all, you got to believe that Jesus died for your sins. And then second of all, you got to humble yourself and ask God, "God, would you forgive me of all of my sins?" And when you mean that with an honest heart, then ask him, say, "Lord, I want the baptism of your Holy Spirit so that I don't have to go through life on willpower alone. I need your power." Is there anybody in this room right now, right where you're standing, looking at me, that says, "You know what? I want this baptism of his Spirit." Are you there? Are you there? I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm just asking you to say, "Yes, I want this baptism of the Spirit." How many in this house need a fresh anointing upon you? Come on. How many need a fresh anointing upon you? Come on. How many need the fresh baptism of the Spirit? How many need a fresh revelation of who you are right now? Come on. Step out from where you are, sir. Come on. Come on, man. You. We're here to help you. Come on. Come on. You're not going to have to leave with that spirit of fear. Come on. What do I do, Pastor? Take your fear to the cross. Take it to the cross. Begin to leave their mind. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, that they would cast all of their cares upon him. Come on, cast your care, cast your fear, cast your doubts, cast your worry, cast your frustration at the cross. You got to earn something. You and I can't earn the grace of God. Cannot do it. You come here to receive what he's already paid for so that you can live the life of abundance he wants you to live. I don't need you to be cute with me right now. If you need something in your life, I want you to raise your hands. You need something right now. Here's how I want you to pray. God, I'm not coming to earn it. I'm coming to receive it. And I need right now your help, your grace, and your mercy. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Now you pray that prayer. You pray that prayer right now. You pray that prayer right now. How many know the power of the Holy Spirit is here right now? Yes, it is. Now look, if you got to go, I understand, all right? I understand if you got to go. But I want you to hear, what this man is about to tell you. And then we, the church, are fixing to agree. And I believe we're going to see some changes in a situation. Okay? That's what this is about, right? We haven't come to this point just to walk away. Let's see it demonstrated. God was two things. If you reduce God to one sentence, he was proclamation and demonstration. And he did both. We don't need just the proclamation. We need the demonstration. Right now, let's see God demonstrate his power and work in a situation. Hear what Brother Sam has to say.
My family's been really struggling in their health, the ones that live in Texas. And last Saturday, of course, my sister-in-law had passed away, and we buried her last Saturday. Since then, her husband, which is my oldest brother, came down with COVID. And my other brother already had it. And then my little sister came down with it. My brother-in-law had pneumonia, and my niece had COVID. So anyway, long story short.
Your brother-in-law's in a tent, isn't he?
No, my brother.
Your brother's in a tent.
My brother Steve is in a tent. He's in Jasper. And anyway, my brother Prentice, his wife passed away. He was in Beaumont in the hospital. Well, this morning they were going to move him to ICU and put him on a vent. And when they did, his heart stopped. Well, they got him going, but he's not going to make it. The Lord showed me two or three days ago. The Lord showed me two or three days ago that he wasn't going to make it. I've been knowing it. I knew my sister-in-law wasn't going to make it. The Lord shows me stuff like that. But anyway, my brother Steve, his back slid. And a while ago, I was praying. I prayed. I said, God, I speak the breath of life. I spoke the breath of life in his lungs a while ago when he was preaching, brother. And I believe the Lord heard me. My sister and my brother-in-law, they're doing better. My niece is doing better. But they're just waiting right now for my oldest brother to pass. But hey, he wasn't happy. He wasn't going to be happy without his wife, so I get it. But I've been believing God to raise my brother Steve up.
So he can stop right there. One can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000. Brother Sam, I want you to lead us right now, and we're going to agree with you on the authority of the name of Jesus.
Father, by your name, Jesus. By the power, oh God, that you've given us, I speak the breath of life.
Come on.
I speak the breath of life.
Come on.
Into my brother Steve, Lord, yes. That he can repent and serve you and be a witness, God, of your greatness and your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We speak the breath of life in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, agree right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We take authority over every work of COVID, every work of sickness. In the name of the Lord God, restore. Restore him back. Hallelujah. Because that shepherd would leave the 99, and the shepherd will go to the one lost sheep. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Brother Williams, may you be strengthened with power and might in the inner man. May you put on the whole armor of God that you can walk in the authority and in the power that God has ordained you to walk in. May we see signs, miracles, and wonders being done through the name of the Holy Child Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody, come on, give God some praise right now in this house.